2 Corinthians chapter 10, we spent quite some time in verse 5, and that's where we're going to pick up, and we're going to spend some more time there. It has to do with a sound mind and you managing your thought life. A great deal of our efforts as Christians, a great deal of us working out our salvation has to do with our thought life. Taking captive the thoughts that we need to take captive by the power of Christ. Pulling down the strongholds. Let me just read it again. Get us brought back up to where we were. Casting down imaginations in verse 5. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Three things mentioned there. Casting down imaginations, reasonings, those things, opinions. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So sometimes our opinions of things we idolize can be actually above the wisdom of God, whether we know it or not. We come into those places, and those things need to be cast down, crushed, burned up. And then just spurious thoughts, the third item, the spurious thoughts. Hey, latch a hold of those things. You're responsible for doing, not manufacturing those thoughts, but what you do with them. So we're to put a handcuff on those thoughts and to deal with them, whether to allow them to flourish, from the Lord if they pass through the grid of His Word, or to take them captive and throw them under the blood to see them destroyed, if it's not of the Lord. So sound mind, mental health is kind of coming out of this, a topical study almost, coming out of this verse as we continue through this particular chapter, chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. Way back in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 17, it talks about this helmet of salvation, and that's going to be our focus today, talking about your mind, talking about your thought life. And way back in Isaiah, we see this in verse 17, a prophecy about the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, for He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon His head. And He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. So Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Rescuer, came down to destroy death, victory over sin. He was the originator of this helmet of salvation, and that helmet fits nicely on my head and fits nicely on your head. And at that cross, He exchanged what He left for us was that helmet and that whole clothing, that whole armor of light that we're to put on. The one we're going to talk about is that helmet of salvation, though, today, your thought life, having your mind covered. So Jesus earned it on the cross way back in Isaiah, and He provides that to us, that helmet of salvation. We're to wear that. Every thought is to be processed under that, and we're going to study that word obedience there. It's a little different than we might think of the English word obedience. Most translations say obedience there. That's actually a hearing. It's a submitted hearing. There's two root words that are derived out of that. A submitted hearing, but the emphasis is on the hearing, attentiveness, having that attentiveness to what's going on and listening. We know also in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, again, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So that being a provision for us. We can contrast that, interestingly enough, to David putting on Saul's armor, kind of a humorous event that took place where Saul was quite a big guy, and he had his armor, and he went to give it to David and put this on David, and David tried to, and is like, I can't do anything with this, you know. And so that's a contrast of what man gives us, what man can provide for us. A lot of times it just doesn't fit quite right, you know, the whatever it is that man prescribes us or whatever it is that man tries to help us with, it's not perfect. It's clanky. It's clunky. And so, but the armor of God is perfect, and it perfectly fits each one of us. So that is the supreme solution, is what God has provided each one of us. Yeah, the topic is the mind, yours and mine today. Crazy or not, we're going to talk about it. The mind is an extension of the spiritual into the physical. No question about it. It's the extension of that spiritual, that eternal being, that uncorruptible thing that's inside of us into the physical. Like you extend your hand into a glove, your spirit extends into this physical creation around you in certain ways. It's intertwined in the physical. By God's doing, He has wrought us in our mother's womb. He's put the reins in us. He's designed us. But He's put that, He's breathed us into us the breath of life, and become a living being. That living being extends into the physical through the brain, through the different organs that we have, through this body of flesh that we have. But it's our interface to the creation around us. So the mind is an extension of the spiritual into the physical. If I were to explore Mars or the depths of the ocean, I have to put on equipment to be able to function, even to be able to see or hear, to do things in that environment. God gave us a mind to interact, to observe, to gather information in this reality around us. The Word became flesh. Jesus did the same thing. He became man. His spirit, which is eternal, He always was. He merely intertwined Himself into a human being, a brain, organs, the flesh, everything. Very interesting. But we are, likewise, we are spirit intertwined into this flesh in a temporary way. When this flesh is done, that spirit will be released back to its creator. A living organism occupies a shell, the ones that we find on the beach. Back to the beach, if you bear with me a little bit on there. Still a little bit in vacation mode this week. The living organisms we saw on the beach typically occupy some type of shell. But the shell isn't the living organism. We occupy a shell, this physical body, including our brain, the topic today, the mind. It is made up of organs, including the brain. All of this is a shell, and all of this is temporary. Within the shell is our life, our spirit, our heart, our inner being. The shell is how we interact with the physical reality. Working together, the spirit and physical, we are a living soul. Genesis 2:7 brings this to bear. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, out of the physical, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, something that is not physical. And man became a living soul. The two things combined, the physical and the spirit, the living soul. When we lose functionality with one of the physical systems that we've been given, we may lose the ability to interact with this reality in some form or fashion. If I lose function of a hand or a foot, I'm going to be able to do less than I was. I'm going to be disabled, physically challenged, handicapped, all the words that we use. If I lose an eye and ear, that kind of thing, we understand that. But perhaps the most challenging of the physical dysfunction is of the mind, no question. Mental illness, mental health, a great challenge for all of us to deal with in our own lives and the lives around us. We may have eyes that see and ears that hear, but the processing of these inputs is scrambled for all sorts of reasons, whether we call it disease or decision, captivity or choice. The root of all is the corruption from sin and the fallen nature that we have. The solution for sin is more than physical healing or willpower. It is the wholeness of the blood of Christ, and this is our helmet of salvation. And it becomes a helmet as we put on, with faith, the things that Christ has earned on the cross for each one of us. It becomes a protective element, and also something that everything is submitted under. Mental issues can produce frustration in us in dealing with. We can tend to show great compassion for those in a wheelchair, but we often fail in dealing with the issues of the mind. Paul is going to deal with the Judaizers in the rest of this chapter going forward. And they would be known for this. If a student wasn't getting it, they would go up to the student and slap them, and just beat the tar out of them until they understood the word, or at least their attention was there. And Paul is going to say, we didn't come to you with that type of approach. That is not how conversion happens. That is forcing something in the mind, and while the heart is being neglected. The gospel hits the heart, and then from the heart, the mind is renewed. So Paul is going to address that and that approach to learning. And even though we, through the frustration and dealing with issues of the mind, we feel like doing that sometimes, it's, why don't you get it? Can't you see you're destroying your life? No, they don't. Things are scrambled in the mind. There's a mental issue. There's dysfunction in the mind. That's what's being addressed here. Imaginations, things that are high, that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, that have been let loose and have borne the fruit of some type of mental aberration now, and thoughts that have been just gone wild. There's no order in the mind. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but what? The power, love, and self-control are a sound mind. So yes, it is a frustration for us to deal with. And the tendency for us can be to get in the flesh and can get into that mode because people aren't understanding as we do. And something so plain, so simple, and so obvious as the sky being gray. Paul is dealing with us, dealing with that type of bad approach to people with issues of the mind. Still, people that aren't understanding. Still alive today is that type of sledgehammer approach to one of the hardest areas to bring under obedience to Christ, and that's the mind. The heart is won through the blood, it's converted, you have a new heart, you have a heart of flesh, and now the renewing of the mind is starting to take place, a daily process, a daily submission. To the degree our mind is ordered to His is the degree of our mental health. Outside of that is insanity, delusion, confusion, and derision. I don't want any of those. Sanity is not just an ordered mind, but one that is subjected to Christ. Because that's how you were designed. You were designed to be in fellowship with God, to be His child, He be your God. So just having an ordered mind outside of God is not sanity. It might have the appearance and comfort of sanity. There's an ordered mind there. Somebody talks and they're coherent. And you can understand them and so forth and so on. And we might say they have sanity. But if outside of Christ, they're insane. They're deluded. For example, an evolution-believing humanist who exalts lies over truth may appear to have an educated mind and appear to be very sane and believable. In fact, maybe be certified by New York State to teach little ones. But on God's record, he or she is insane, delusional, armed, and dangerous. Should be locked up. Verse 5 and verse 6 talk about obedience, disobedience. That word, again, has to do with hearing. It begins with the Greek hupo, and some of you are familiar with that. That's a submission. That's an underneath. Submitted. So it's submitted hearing. I like in the definitions I was reading, it reads, one of the definitions and examples that it gives is of one who on the knock at the door comes to listen who it is. That's the duty of a butler or a porter. Somebody's just ready right here at the door, ready for the door to knock. So they're attentive to the things that are going to come across the intersection of the mind. We're to take responsibility of what enters into the mind. Not to come under condemnation because something nasty come across, but we're to take responsibility once we're aware of that and to be aware of that and attentive. To manage your thoughts. Don't let things just run. My goodness. Imaginations. You know how it goes. It goes from a thought to a fantasy, and pretty soon you might even be doing whatever that thing is. And Jesus says that even before you do it, it's already sin. You've already committed it in your heart. Your mind has made a convert of your heart. Submitted hearing. That's the obedience that's being talked about today. I would like you to understand that today. I would like you to take that home today. When obedience is talked about in the Bible, 99 times out of 100, it's talking about attentive hearing, attentive listening. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." That's what makes you a sheep. They hear my voice and they follow me. So the following, we're more attuned to that being obedience, but the following doesn't happen until the hearing happens. And the hearing doesn't come to bear unless the mind is sound. And it comes from an ordered mind and self-control. That's taking captive the thoughts. It's casting down the imaginations. Everything that exalts itself above God. Submitted hearing. How do you have the mind of Christ? You're listening, you're attentive at the door that knocks every day. God is speaking to us all the time, whether it's a penny on a bench, or it's something in Nehemiah, or it's a dream that took place last night. God is speaking all the time to us. Don't miss it. Man, it makes me shudder to think of the times that I missed his voice. I hate that. I hate that thought. And little Asher, sometimes I don't understand what he's saying. And then Mindy or Maddie will say, Grandpa, he actually said, because I'll say the wrong answer and it's totally off or something. And they'll correct me and say, Asher was trying to tell you this. And then I feel bad because I didn't pay close enough attention. I didn't try hard enough to hear him. And the same goes with the Lord, you know. I feel really, I don't want to miss anything that he has. I don't want to miss that penny. I don't want to miss the dream. Because I'm entertaining something, I've gone off into some fear, allow fear to run or pride to run or lust to run or whatever it is, and that I become deaf to God's voice. And praise God. Praise God. He's faithful to keep knocking. How do you have the mind of Christ? You're listening, you're attentive at the door that knocks every day. The mind of man was made to be in fellowship with God. You know, if you saw a raccoon outside and on the street and it was doing a dance like this, you'd say there's something wrong. Roger would probably take care of that situation. There's something wrong with it. He's lost his mind. He's probably got rabies. We've lost our mind when we don't have the mind of Christ, because that's the mind we're to have. That's what we're created for. The raccoon has certain activities. He's been designed for certain things, and it isn't dancing in the street. That would be something weird. When we've gone away from the mind of Christ, when we stop thinking like he thinks, we stop having that mind, we've gone into a place of delusion, a place of confusion, a place that we're doing something that is like rabies. It's insane. And it might have the appearance of something okay. The submitted hearing is related to a more complex word, and that is faith. Those things all tie together. Submitted hearing goes into the equation of faith. And if you were to break out that equation of faith, part of that is the substance of things hoped for. Just that one word, substance. Again, bringing that word, hupo, submitted. Submitted. So it's a standing, a submitted standing, your faith. So this attentive hearing leads us. We know that faith comes from what? Hearing the word of God. So that attentive hearing brings us into that place of faith. And again, submitted standing. Submitted standing is that faith. The Bible speaks of a drought of not just the word of God, but the hearing of the word of God. We have plenty of resource around us, Bibles and so many translations, it's ridiculous. Even Klingon translations and a teenager translation and so many translations. That's Star Trek, if you didn't realize. But the hearing of that word, and I don't mean the physical vibrations of eardrum, but you know what we're talking about today. The understanding of it, the processing of it. They have ears to hear, but they don't hear, Jesus said. They have eyes to see, but they don't see. The hearing of the word. That attentive opening the door and say, yes, this is you, God, now submitting to it and following. The Bible does speak of a drought of the word, and it's the hearing of the word of God. Last year we had an interesting, we had a time of drought. This year it seems to be the other direction. I think we've surpassed 1993, which we had that blizzard of 93, and we've gone past that now with precept, and so I pray that's a sign for this year and the word of God being heard. Amen. So we went from a drought and hard work last year, and I pray there'd be an abundance of the hearing of the Word of God and the more manifestations of what James experienced, and that's people coming to the knowledge and grace and salvation of Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, this type of hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Your thoughts are an assembly line in the factory of your faith. Things are put together unto understanding. Inspections are done. Things must fit the framework of His Word or be rejected. The mind is the place where our salvation is being worked out. I will give an example of, this is an embarrassing one, but I feel I need to be vulnerable because I am clay. Why not? Do you guys think I'm anything otherwise? And you need to know that I am just clay. Last night, it was about 4 in the morning, I woke up. It was like, I need to get my one more hour of sleep and I'm perfect. Otherwise, it's no good, right? At least that's where my mind goes. So I get frustrated. And so I woke up to that time and Gretchen's sleeping sounds. Not even that bad, but it's...
Thank you.
All of a sudden, my mind starts going like, I'm not going to get that. I'm not going to get the sleep I need. And it's going to, I'm going to be ruined for the morning and so forth and so on. What's happening? A spurious thought. Yeah, because something was observed. Something's happening. And it's because of a noise I'm hearing, I'm not going to be able to get back to sleep. So I'm drawing a conclusion. And now that I'm bringing that conclusion and raising it above the Word of God, and now that's the highest thing that's in my mind, is that I am defeated, I'm not going to be able to sleep, and I've elevated that above all of God's promises, all the reality of God, and I'm like, wait a minute. I was like, hold on, what are you preaching on today, boy? Where is your mind? Where have you gone? You're insane. You don't have the mind of Christ. You're allowing a little bit of noise to bring you into a place of frustration, confusion, and anger, stupid. I am clay. It is ridiculous. The things that annoy us, the things that we allow to be cast so high above God's precious word and His truth, we allow these little things to go, to be elevated high, and they become an idol at that point, because we're allowing that to shape everything. Something shaping your life other than God, it's an idol. Jesus slept through a storm. Mm. I mean, you're talking about thunder, not a little bit of little sleep sounds, little grunts and sounds and of sleep, but He slept through thunder and howls and rain, and here I am struggling with a little bit of a sound. And so I start rising up to the truth of God, and a few minutes later, I'm gone. I'm gone. I'm sleeping. I had victory. Praise God. Simple example. It seems kind of trivial, but unfortunately, we make trivial things sometimes the rule in our life. Time to put His helmet on, folks, and have the mind of Christ. In verse 6 there, yes, we're moving forward. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I had no idea that God would have such focus and such a spotlight on these few verses here. But that's how it happened. A readiness. A readiness to revenge. Okay, once you know when that skunk comes through the door, the first time you didn't realize, what is that? A cat with a white stripe, as Ben would say, I think I'll chase that around. You know, first time you experience that, fool me once, you know, there's no cat. You would think the second time allowing that in the door, no, you're not coming through. So that readiness, that attentiveness, again, that butler at the door, you become better at it. So that's verse 6 is talking about. And a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Those thoughts that aren't of the Lord. Those thoughts that are lustful. You're not going to put on a leash and, hey, let's take this one for a walk for a little while. Okay, that's not going to happen. And so coming from that, that ordered mind, that sane mind of Christ, we're going to have a readiness to revenge. That's a strong word. All disobedience. I'm not going to allow that thought to ruin my morning. I'm not going to allow that thought to ruin my day, my week, my month, whatever it is. My fruitfulness to God. Readiness. To revenge all disobedience. And that disobedience, same word, has to do with that attentive hearing, that submitted hearing. And so that's not happening. Mishearing. Misprocessing these things. Not paying attention. Ready at the door. I get to experience this a little bit. I'm a manager at work. Been a father at home, a husband at home, and all these things. And these places that you have responsibility of other people. And you get kind of that idea in the physical. You can kind of see that. It's like, hey, if I'm not paying attention, it's not my calling to be in charge of people in that sense. It's my calling to follow Christ. And it's like, if you want to follow me when I'm following Christ, that's awesome. But I'm going to point you to Christ. But I do not like getting involved in other people's business and affairs. So I struggle with that. So even as a manager at work, I struggle with that. I want to be focused on the project I'm doing. And it's like, just take care of your stuff and get it done, you know. But that's not being a good manager. I've really got to see, you know, what are you doing? That has nothing to do with what we're supposed to be doing. You know, so I've got to be attentive to what people are doing. And so I'm going around the shop, and now instead of just one mind, my own, I'm, you know, there's nine of them. I'm making sure that we're in unity. We're focused on whatever we need to be focused on. And that's being a good manager. I struggle with that. Also being a pastor, I struggle with that. Is being involved in other people's life. Let's be one. And being involved in their lives and being concerned. But that's the attentiveness that I need to have. But all of us are called to that individually. All of us are called to manage our thoughts, to be managed. I'm a manager. We've got a bad. Yeah, you're a manager of your thoughts, of your mind. You need to take charge over those things that come through. The word is right in front of us telling us to do it. Cast down the imaginations, every high thought that exalts itself. Bring into captivity. Bring it to obedience of Christ. Let's bring this into the practical again here. And that comes from just continuing the word here as Paul does this. And it has to do with judgment, judging other people, and that's definitely mental illness. Improper judgment of people, no matter how you dice it, if you don't have the mind of Christ, it's mental illness, it's confusion, it's going to cause damage, you're armed and dangerous, you should be locked up. We pray for that situation, Father God, the person that might be fearful right now. That's a couple of times the siren's gone off today. And we pray your grace be over that. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the ministers and servants of your grace going out with helping hands. Thank you, Lord. So the mental illness of judgment. Yeah, it's a disease of the mind. It's making decisions at an outer appearance of someone. Judging a book by a cover is the old cliche, and that's what's happening here. Paul is being judged. Believe it or not, Paul the Apostle is being judged and the people in Corinth by the Judaizers. So he addresses that in verse 7. Let's bring it to the practical. Do you look on these things after the outward appearance? Question. If any man trust himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again. Think this again. What are we talking about? Thoughts. Think this again. Rethink it. Check it. Inspect it. Reject it. Take it into obedience. Take them captive. Fire it. Whatever you got to do. That is, he is Christ, even so we are Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. Authority is always for the building up in the body of Christ. The world can see it another way. Authority could be, hey, do what I want you to do. You're serving me. But authority in the Bible is different. It's edifying. It's building people up. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Go get them, guys. Quite often unbelievers will feel like they're being judged in the sense that holier than thou kind of thing, and they feel like they're never good enough, they can't measure up, that you are serving them in the wrong capacity if that's the case. If you are an authority in their life, but it should be one to build them up. Build them up into their walk with God. Keep pushing them, keep pressing them to go towards the truth, towards the light, and to reject everything, every form of darkness. But at the same time, letting them know that you are a sinner deserving hell outside of the grace of God. Judgment. This is what's happening to Paul. That I might not seem as if I would terrify you by letters, for his letters, say they, that's the Judaizers, are weighty and powerful. Here's the accusation. Here's the judgment against Paul. But his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is contemptible. This is the junk. This is the trash talk that was going against Paul the Apostle. Would you like to be one of those people that trash talk Paul the Apostle? That would be pretty embarrassing, considering that the very word of God, he was an apostle of God, coming forth through him. And none of these guys amounted to anything. We don't hear, this is it. This is, all you hear about is the negative about them. They were so high and mighty. They're so polished in speech. And yet here they are entering into judgment about Paul. And he says, he's hard to look at. He's hard to, remember in Galatians? We were in Galatians and Paul was like, I had this physical infirmity, but you guys still treated me like an angel, like a messenger of God. You still treated me like I had the word of God, which he did. They were able to see through that, whatever that physical nastiness that he had. Some people think it was eye disease and he had weeping eyes or whatever it was. He certainly had a lot of bruises. He was always getting knocked around and beat up. He probably just looked like a mess. He was short, it says, in the extra-biblical stuff says he was kind of short stature, big hook nose. Just wasn't much to look at to begin with without being beat up and without having eye issues and stuff. It was bad enough where Paul would be able to mention in letters like, wow, you guys are awesome. You didn't allow any of my physical appearance to dissuade you from knowing that I had a message from God. And it wasn't about this prosperity guy in white coat and gold and stuff like this, and you can be like me and look like me and have what I have. And it was none of that. This guy is just like, he has truth. He's got the truth, man. And I mean, he that's the only thing keeping him going. It's the truth of God. It's like, I'd rather be with the Lord right now, but it's better for your sake that I'm here now. And they're like, you're about half in the grave. You know, the guy didn't look too good. But that's what kept him going, is to win more hearts for the kingdom, to enter in until God says that's enough. And he cut it right there, and it's exactly what happened. He lost his head for God. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. I would love to do that this morning. To lose my head for you, Lord God. That's not physically, but to lose everything, surrender everything, and take it all captive for you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. We're going to clip it there. I was going to get into the simplicity of gospel. That's in the beginning of the next chapter. Kind of why we wrote that down in the card. But if you could just set your card in the Bible collection areas there, whatever you call it, the pockets, and we'll work on that next week. But I sense that we have expired our time of learning here. That's okay. This is a very delicate subject and one worth spending time in. It's something that comes at us in different ways, whether our family or different people we know that struggle with things in the mind, and how the world around us treats it and how they label things and how they deal with it. And there's just the whole thing there. We want to hear it from you, God. We want to hear the truth. And it's simple as a helmet. As simple as putting on a helmet that you fashioned in your body. A helmet that fits perfectly on my head and it's comfortable. And it has the fragrance of your sweat, Lord God, even that sweet passion that you sweat great drops of blood, Lord God. You sweat on the cross, Lord God, in agony for me. And that's a sweet savor. That's a sweet smell to me, Lord God. Lord Jesus Christ, that helmet protects me. Every thought I have, Lord God, I put under that. I under that helmet. Your mind, Lord God, is what I seek. I pray, Lord Jesus, that for everyone here, that that's what brings us into unity, Lord God, that we all have your mind. I made the mistake, Lord Jesus Christ, and I confessed it before everybody on many occasions, that beginning this work, I had the illusion that everybody would have my mind. And it sounds so stupid now, I'm embarrassed to say it, but it was so real. I was frustrated with people and frustrated. I just wanted to get around people that were like me. And that would be even worse. And I thank you, Lord, that you didn't allow that to happen, that you put people together that aren't like me, but that we could all rise up to having that mind like you, Lord Jesus. So I'm on that path now and been on that path. And I continue on that path, and I want to see us all on that path. Lord Jesus, we know that happens through your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit dwelling in these lively stones, these beautiful people, your bride. Pour out upon us, I pray, Lord, now, your Holy Spirit. Fill us, breathe upon us that life. Make us living souls, Lord God, once again. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Praise you, Lord. Amen.